You have just entered the Cavey Ma Podcast. Keyboard, plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, and...
Just go with it.
I'm just going. Hey guys, and... You guys know what time it is. It's time for the KB Mod Podcast. I didn't even look up what episode we're on. I think it's 17?
17, yeah.
Good.
18, bro.
Oh, wait.
18?
Is it?
We're legal, baby.
Wow. That's great.
We are DTF.
We are. Wow. Because we've been fucking a long time, but now it's finally legal that we're 18.
Yeah, we've been together for a while, but...
We have. 18 straight. I mean, that's... That is nothing to sniff at. I know every week I make a big deal about this, but 18 in a row without missing a beat or a week is pretty good.
I know. We're catching up to the best podcast on the internet, PKA.
Yeah, you know.
It's called No Lives. That's what we have.
That's
what we have right now.
Just gaming and podcasts and websites.
I just flashed my phone to a new ROM, guys. Because I was bored.
And all went well, huh?
Keemstar says the PC gamers are all losers and we're fat and we live in our mom's basement.
Hey, dude. Can't hold a job, don't have families.
He told me he made $1 million last year. Did you know that Alki David ejaculates $1 million? just sucked that right out of there, didn't you, Keemstar?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Yeah, those who live in glass houses throwing stones, bros. I'll tell you.
I think we're pretty safe in our glass house, Scott.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
comments from DJ
Keemstar about calling anyone a nerd ever. Is a little...
Yeah, look at that facial haircut he's got going on.
A little hypocritical. But yeah, that'll sour the whole cast if we talk about that. So let's go somewhere else. What have you guys been up to this week, gaming-wise, and Skyrim for me today? 5.5 straight hours.
Wow, dude.
After buying it. God, I didn't think I was going to be like that quick and pulled in.
Fantastic
but...
game.
Oh, my God, man. Unbelievable. Killed my first dragon about an hour and a half ago.
Nice, nice.
Whew. So now I'm... I just can't get over, like, I was funny because I was, before I bought it, I was looking at a couple of different online reviews and YouTube videos and all that. And, like, I was looking at people that are, like, halfway through the game or three quarters or even maybe already completed the main story or whatever. And, like, looking at the map, like, the amount of places there are. I know, John, you already beat it, right? Once?
I beat the preview version, but it didn't have all of the content or anything.
Oh, okay, yeah. How many hours was the preview version?
I got a review copy. It was, like, 12.
Okay.
12 hours,
yeah.
And there was like unfinished textures and stuff in there. So now that I play it with like all of the real stuff in there, it's impressive.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. So much to do. I mean, the map had like 250 places on it. I'm just like dizzying. It's insane. So that's been fun. Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3 for me as well. Yeah. What about you?
Delicious variety, Scott.
Yeah, not too bad. Actually, some variety. You know, ever since I stopped playing Counter-Strike for these couple weeks, I'm actually gaming other games.
Good for you.
It's, yeah. Man, I feel alive again.
So I've been hitting the Modern Warfare 3 hard, as you would imagine. But last night at my live stream, I've also been playing Blacklight over the weekend when the beta was still going. Have my thoughts on that a little later. Played Tribes last night, and actually, finally, after, I don't know, I've probably played 10 hours of Tribes or something like that total, but finally kind of being able to kill people. I still can't ski the best, but finally being able to kill people. With the noob tube. I'm really good with this grenade launcher thing. So, but that game is amazing. So, and by the way, if people don't know, Curse.com is doing a beta key giveaway of like 10,000 Tribes beta keys.
Yeah, how did that, I saw that tweet. How is that working? How do they have 10,000?
I don't know, but I know a few of our followers and listeners have gotten them from there.
Yeah.
So, it's a good way to get it. I'm sure they won't all be gone by tomorrow, so.
Well, we've got a few more to give out. Not quite 10,000, but
not quite.
We didn't exactly hack into their database and steal 10,000 keys. No, I'm not saying they did that, but that is nuts. They have a lot.
But I also played a bunch of Pro Mod last night, man, because it is super enjoyable on an American server with all the right settings. So, thank you, John, and huge props to NetSky for giving us one of those. And I think KB Mod's going to have one soon, if it's not up already. So,
nice.
But it's so much better on a good ping and stuff. Just way more playable.
That's true. I realize I have not experienced Pro Mod on under sub-100 ping.
Oh,
so.
When your shots are registering, it's really nice.
I'll have to give that a gander. Nice. What about you, John? Pro Mod?
No, I've been playing an assload of Skyrim.
Yeah.
I've been playing. I play Skyrim for a couple hours, and late at night I jump on play Pro Mod with the viewers and listeners and such. And I play Tribes on weekends with Brandon because it's terrible playing with anybody else because everybody else is bad compared to us. And
it's true, actually, though.
Diablo 3 beta starting right now.
Nice.
Yeah, you're welcome for that one, John.
Yeah, you're welcome that I have the active account.
Boom. Shakalaka.
Oh, by the way, speaking of noob tubes, is that frowned upon in Tribes? That
no,
gun?
No, dude.
Is that
anyway,
it?
You no, can
it's
kill
a,
anyone.
It's hard to use.
Is it? Okay.
It's hard to use.
I haven't used that.
Yeah.
Only played a few games, but...
Yeah, I'm terrible.
It's not really... It's just a grenade launcher. It's not really like a true noob tube.
It's not the Robert Bowling variety.
It's actually the secondary secondary weapon for the Ranger. That's the thing I'm really good with. I don't even know if it's called a grenade launcher, but that's what it's like. So, but I'm pretty good with that. Me and Slam Tarts, one of our followers, were playing for a while while I was live streaming last night, and he was doing really well. He was playing the jumper class and flying around all over the place. So,
jumper's OP on the newer map.
Yeah, dude, that's where he was
capping
flags like mad.
Nice. What about you, Brandon? I know Tribes on weekends.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much Tribes and played some Modern Warfare 3. You know, we'll talk about that some, but
yeah.
Probably not going to be playing a whole lot more of that. So more time for Tribes.
Yeah, well, Modern Warfare 3. That brings us nicely into the first topic, actually.
We now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
Because now that we have all played Modern Warfare 3, I got it, what day did I get it?
After the podcast last week.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally decided to get it, and my first impressions were, like, remember Dan, after talking to you, Dan, I was like, should I buy this? And you were like, yeah, you'll have fun with it, but it has problems, but, you know, I think overall you'll like it. But.
The thing about it is that they did some things very right. With like the gunplay, and then they did other things just as horribly as possible.
Like map design.
Yep.
It was funny because I posted a video talking about how I was like.
The funny thing is, I've heard some people say that they like the maps.
Yeah, they're drunk. Or high.
Yeah, they are. They are. Because I mean, it's there's 16 maps, right? So.
Right.
Because I looked this up today, and there's 16 maps.
Yeah.
I would say. This is my personal opinion. Obviously, some people are going to hate some maps just because they just don't like them. Not just purely based on how badly the map is designed. I would say half are probably really just poorly designed maps. And then the other half, there aren't any good maps at all.
I mean, I think that's a fair... I mean, that sounds harsh, but we've been saying that. I really, after playing every map now, I think that's a fair statement.
It's more like you could divide them into playable, unplayable, and kind of like somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
That's about it. Playable is the best compliment I can give a map.
Yeah. To me, one of those that stands out, because it's so simple, it was hard to fuck up, is like Hard Hat is a playable map to
me. Hard Hat and Interchange.
Interchange, yeah.
Quite playable.
But those, to me, are the simplest, where they're just like a really basic square. Like, without very many levels of, like,
now,
lines
Dome,
of sight or anything.
Dome is, like, the rust of this.
Yes.
I don't know if you played Dome, Scott, but,
quite a few times.
Dome, if you want to really go ham, Dome's a good map to do it on, especially if you know how the spawns work.
Right.
Like, Orb got a Moab on there.
Well, that guy, it doesn't even...
But, but I have my longest streak on there, and I almost got a Moab. And I'm not very good, but you just run around like an idiot on that map.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like... but
he rapes all the things on that map.
Yeah, exactly. And but it's just so small. Like, all of it, that's the main flaw of every single map in the whole thing.
Yeah.
They're just too small. They're not as vertical, I don't think, as Modern Warfare 2. They don't annoy me like Modern Warfare 2 did, with as far as the lines of sight and different cubby holes, but, God, the bad maps though are just so bad. Like so bad. It's bad when you go in a lobby and immediately everyone votes for one map because they're all just like, oh, fuck that. We're not playing that other map at all.
What was that? It starts with an arc on it?
Arcade.
Yeah.
You go in there and you see Arcaden and it doesn't matter what game type it is. You're just like, fuck this. It's not happening.
Ugh. Man.
Tell them you can at least have some fun in a party because you're just going to stomp people. Doesn't make it a good map, but, I mean.
Yeah, at the, like, speaking of what John was saying about doing things right and doing things wrong, like, one of the right things was definitely the kill confirmed game type is a lot of fun. It's probably one of my favorites. And the wrong thing, this is just maybe how it translates on PC. We were tweeting about this the other day. But John had made a comment that, like, kill confirmed on PC, like, people camp like crazy, dude. And you're so right. Like, I was playing with Orb the other day, and we were getting games, and people just were not moving. They're just camping in corners on kill confirmed. On these little maps, and I don't know, people were on console were like, no, we don't ever see that. So I don't know why that is.
Well, it seems the problem really with campy. Kill confirmed to me is that, I swear to God, if you do a public match without anyone you know, nobody has any idea on either team what the dog tags are for.
No.
They're just running around killing. I've watched teammates run past four denies that they could have gotten and just like ignore
dog tags, dude. I was saying that the same thing. They don't pick them up. I think they think they're bad. I think they see red and they think bad.
Ooh, it's going to blow up.
They're like, oh, yeah, that's like a care package booby-trapped or something. Really, that's the only thing I can think of because you're right, dude. People do not pick them up ever. That's weird. But that is overall, when you're having a good game of that, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, I posted a video on it, and I just don't.
Yeah.
It's like it's not a horrible game, but the things that they did wrong just don't make sense.
I mean, the map design,
I fundamentally just don't like. But that's I will say that is my personal opinion, and I mean you guys agree with me, but I have heard some people say they love the maps because they're fast paced and small, and people like all the flank spots.
Well, I do
and
enjoy
stuff.
The pace, so, but. Doesn't make the maps good once again.
Right, but so I'll take that out of the equation, but the other stuff just doesn't make sense. Like not all the other stuff that we don't have, like the field of view and all that stuff that I imagine they had to take out.
Right.
Not like they wouldn't even have to add that. They had to take it out to neuter the game for us. And that like when you're reducing my enjoyment of the game by taking simple stuff like that out.
Right.
I'm not excited to play the game. Like I would rather play other things, and that's kind of where Call of Duty is for me now. It's not that it's a bad game. Like I can enjoy it, especially if I'm on with friends, you know, and on with you guys, and we're in a game together. That can be fun. But it's just not. It's not like an experience that I crave anymore, and it's not something I think is worth $60.
Yep. And the thing for me is to Modern Warfare 3. You know, I was really pumped for the game. And it doesn't have that. It doesn't have the intangible thing that a good game has. Like, COD 4 has that, where I can go back, like the other night, you know, Modern Warfare 3's out, Blacklight's out, Tribes is out. What did I end up playing the other night? Promod. You know? Like, I can always come back to that and have fun, no matter what, and feel like, when I'm doing it, feel like there's nothing in the game that's really, like, horribly broken. Or nothing works incorrectly. There's nothing cheap about it. So it doesn't have that kind of intangible kind of this is a great game thing going for it.
I don't know if that's COD fatigue, though, from being so similar to Modern Warfare 2. Like, I haven't felt – this is just me. I haven't felt safe spawning in a COD game since COD 4. Modern Warfare 2 –
true.
I feel like I could die from anywhere at any time. I feel the very same in this game. Black Ops was a little better because of the maps, I think. But there was some really bad spawning in Black Ops, everyone knows. Like I said this before, too, like some of the spawns on these maps, and I think it like goes back to map design, is like there's only so many places you can spawn these people on a map, you know, the size of a postage stamp. So, I mean, it makes sense that the spawns, you'd have stuff where it's just going to be crazy at times. But that's really the most frustrating thing to me is dying, is like, it's like getting on a streak and then dying from something I have absolutely no chance to defend against. Like
right.
someone spawning behind me and shooting me in the back with a spaz from like 30 feet away.
That's what I was and saying. That's what I was saying to you guys earlier.
Yeah.
That the reason I don't like playing the game, and really one of the main things that's turned me off from it, is that so often, let's say you come out of a doorway,
right.
and you can, an enemy could certainly be to the left or to the right. You have to guess if he's to the left or to the right,
right.
and if you choose wrong, you die. If
right.
you choose correctly, maybe you don't. But that's the thing, is there's no, like, there's no skill coming into that. It's random, depending on, you know, which way do you look first, and is the enemy that way? That's I just don't like that, because obviously the person that sees the other first is usually going to win.
Yep.
And that's what baffles me about playing with Orb or watching Orb play, because in the game of absolute randomness that is Call of Duty, a lot of times, like, for him to consistently get 45, 50 kill games with like sub 5 deaths, or like 6 deaths or 10 deaths, even so, like, and he run, dude, I mean, you've seen Orb play, he runs around 24/7. So
mm-hmm.
I don't, he has like an innate, like, weird COD sense. I don't understand. Like, I think he just prepares to be gay at every possible time, and his aim just, you know, he just makes up for it that way. But it's just bizarre. Like, there's certain people, like, even like someone that is actually fun that I like to watch on consoles, like Sandy Ravage, because if, I don't know if you ever watched any of his gameplay, Dan, but he's like, he had a class name after him for the spaz, where he would just go on these insane kill streaks with the spaz shotgun. And they are really crazy. It's like, you know, like on Ground War games where he'll get like 20, you know, he'll get a nuke with the spaz, like rushing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. And you're like, if that was me, I'd be dead after the third kill, because there'd be four bros behind me. And
well,
it's just people like
thing.
That that just, it baffles me. I don't understand what it is, but.
The thing about Modern Warfare 3 that I actually enjoy, and John has said this as well, is that one of the huge pluses is that if you're playing the game correctly, as in an objective game, not TDM or FFA.
Right.
By the way, if you play TDM or FFA in that game consistently, you should kill yourself. I don't know how you do it. You are just down in the dumps,
it's
human
bad.
Being.
I've tried both.
Like, you just like love to be punished. That's the only way.
You're a masochist, straight up.
Yeah. you just. Wow, I forgot what I was going to say that got so, like, so heated.
Well, you started thinking about
you're
going
to play the objectives,
yeah.
If you're playing the objectives in Domination correctly, in this game, you can just pound an objective till you get it, dying as much as you want.
You will die a lot.
And you can take it and win the game. Like, I've lost a whole team, not with, like, playing with, like, you guys, but I've lost to a whole team that finished negative. Every single guy on the team finished negative because they just played the objective, and they all had they probably were all running support, except for maybe a couple. Because the point streaks, I don't know how someone didn't put point streaks in the game earlier. Maybe they did. I said that in my video today. Maybe there is a game that they stole it from, but what a good idea.
I think Homefront.
If you're going to have kill streaks.
Yeah,
if you're going to have kill streaks, I mean, you may as well, you know, reward people for playing the objective. I thought that Black Ops just rewarded playing the objective because, you know, the map design was so catered to it in a lot of cases,
mm-hmm.
especially for Dom, that it was great. But this is like, really, I can get my EMP and like really hurt the other team. Now, just by playing how I want to play, I don't have to slay like Orb or John. So, mainly because I can't, but. I don't have to even try to play that way. So I think that's a huge plus for it. I think the game, what's so disappointing about it, is that the game is right on the cusp of doing things so right, but the things they did wrong are so, so wrong that it just completely hamstrings it. Just completely.
Yeah.
Just kills it. I have fun with it, but like, man.
I feel the same way. It's like, I'm still, like, when I play, you know, there is frustration, but there are games where, like, if I'm playing with you guys or playing with friends, it is enjoyable despite the glaring oversights or whatever it is, or them trying to get the experience vanilla and the same on all platforms. God knows what that means.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to do that. I don't understand it. One platform is different.
Yeah,
and as Brandon said, the things they took out are so... There are fucking CVARs for everything.
Right.
Everything exactly. that they took out is already in the game. It's just locked away. So it doesn't make any sense at all as to why that happened.
Something like only having one volume slider... Like, that to me is just pure laziness.
Also, that's in the console version, too, to like, even make it worse. It wasn't even like they shorted us. That is actually in the console as well. There is only one volume slider, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, you know? That's crazy.
I figured they were going to short us.
The main takeaway for me after playing it for a weekend is that, like Scott said, I have enjoyed some of the games I've played with a group. Playing by myself was awful, period.
Yeah, but straight up.
The games that I played by myself or with you guys were enjoyable, but it wasn't anything more than that. Like, enjoyable is the best I can describe it, because like, I had some fun, but there wasn't like any moment in the game that I really felt really compelled to keep playing. I was playing because that's what people were doing, and you know, and I wanted to join in and have fun with friends. It was more about kind of the social activity, not necessarily the game I was playing. And if someone would have wanted to play something else, like a tribe or something, I would have gone immediately and done that.
Yeah,
the main thing I've taken away, and I was trying to hold on to this for a while, but just couldn't. Is that when I was first playing solo without you guys, and I played for a few hours solo, I was doing fine. Probably just because I'm a half-decent Call of Duty player. But, I mean, I was doing fine and ranking up and pretty much going, you know, 2-1 kill-death for the, you know, first few hours of the game. And I wasn't experiencing that, but once I played with you guys, but it's not the same as Black Ops even. Black Ops, I could get excited about going in a game.
Yeah.
And not even, you know, topping the board with kills, but like going in a game and winning a Dom game by myself. Like just going in there and trying to do that was really fun. Whereas I don't even think it's possible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you have four or five bad teammates and I'm looking for three, you are fucked. You are completely fucked. There's no getting out of it.
Yep. Yeah, that's the being the rogue agent and playing by yourself. It just doesn't. And I did. You're right. I did do that in Black Ops. I'm not a huge. Actually, I did. Yeah, actually, I did enjoy Free for All in Black Ops. I did. I've even posted a few games of that on my channel, and I played that a little bit. I mean, just I tried. I think three matches in a row Free for All on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like you said, I was like, never again. I will never.
Yeah.
Never again, dude. I didn't
think that a Call of Duty game after Black Ops would make me yearn for the maps in Black Ops. Like, compared to Modern Warfare 3, I love Black Ops maps.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at it now, it's like, just bring those back. Bring those account. Over for Modern Warfare 3. We'll play them.
Yeah, the thing is, now that I've thought about it, you know, and had real time to digest the game, as opposed to just like 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
If you combined Black Ops with Modern Warfare 3 into one game, that would be an incredible game. Like, I'm not even joking. If you had the maps from Black Ops and the gunplay from Modern Warfare 3,
the point streak stuff,
even the graphics, because the graphics in Black Ops are pretty shit, in my opinion. And the performance of Modern Warfare 3. Because I've heard no one who's like, man, it just, my PC just can't handle it, it just chugs along, you know? Like,
right.
I haven't heard anyone say that, whereas Black Ops is just a giant piece of shit when it comes to that. So, that's like what its infamous thing is, that it performs poorly. That's what people remember about Black Ops PC. Oh, that game that used all of my processor all the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
past 35 cores don't matter, 100%.
Yep.
Whatever.
Love that during loading. Yep.
Nice.
All right.
You don't have to run Prime 95 though, which is nice.
Yeah, you just play some Black Ops.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit. Talk about some Skyrim, because that
is the best game.
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
100 mods so far.
Yeah.
There's no mod tools though.
You're out for 2 days and there's 100 mods.
It's insanity.
It's quite a game.
I mean, I've never heard a game take so many people's lives away in 3 days.
Yeah.
In my life. Not even the Call of Duties. What I find great now, this is PC, granted, which is not Call of Duty's main platform, as we've gone over. But Skyrim crushed it on Steam. Crushed it. Like,
yeah.
That's amazing to me.
I mean, Elder Scrolls, I don't care what anybody says, what platform you play it on. Games like that are designed for PCs solely because of the modding community. And I think everybody knows that after what they saw with Oblivion.
Right, like, just like, so many total conversion mods for that game. Textures.
There's hundreds of thousands of Oblivion mods.
Yeah.
And there's some that are just a completely new game, like 10 gigabyte mods. It's unbelievable.
And I think Skyrim
floored at the Steam stats. I mean, like 230,000. That is amazing. I can't remember the last time I saw one game hit that high a number on Steam.
Yep. And then I love fucking our boy the Ginger Bomb there for Extra Life on Friday. He just got in the game and then played Skyrim for 24 hours straight.
Oh my god!
And I was like, what the heck? And I watched it like bits and pieces over the whole time frame. Yeah. He was never sick of it though, and it was always something new when I would go into the stream. It wasn't like
I mean
he was,
it's
like, doing the same content. It was like,
it's an insane technical, not just technical, but just game achievement. I just can't. I would love to. I'd be curious to see how many lines of code that game is. Like,
yeah.
You know how they always talk about. I think when Doom 3 came out, it was like insane that it had like a million lines of code or something like that. Like that was a big deal. Like I can. I mean, just all the interactions of stuff going on. Like. It's always like, and we were just talking about this in Vent actually, before the cast a little earlier, I think Biz was talking, to Dom about it, like, how everyone, like, the game is different for everyone, because you don't make the same choices, you might not do the same quests at the same time, you might choose a different path, like, it's insane. It just never, you know, and the game basically never ends.
No, and we posted there,
exactly.
the Radiant engine, the engine behind it. Can infinitely make up quests for you.
It's ridiculous.
Can't say they're all going to be relevant all the time, but
it
doesn't matter. The fact that it can actually
do
that and get quest text and everything, that's pretty ridiculous to me.
It's unreal. I mean, like I said, I came home and I played 5 hours today, and I'm probably going to play more before I go to bed tonight, which will fuck me for tomorrow, but it's just so good. You haven't gotten it yet, Dan, right? And you don't have it yet, Brandon, do you?
No, I haven't gotten it yet, just because I don't have enough time to play single-player RPGs. I much prefer multiplayer since I have, you know, limited time to play. But what I've seen so far, I mean, it's going to be an easy buy for me once it hits Steam sale, most definitely.
Yeah.
It plays out a lot.
Even though I haven't played it.
So. You can jump on for half hour. Yet?
Well, I'm curious to hear from you, Scott and John. Do you think it's going to win Game of the Year?
Yeah, definitely. Unless GTA somehow comes out before the year's over, there's just no way. There's no way anything else will win.
I mean, just as a technical exercise, and the fact that it works so well as a game and like isn't a shitty game, because Crysis was a pretty shitty game, even though it was an amazing technical exercise. This appears to be, you know, I haven't played it as I said, this appears to be an amazing game on all fronts with barely any sort of technical problems that are widespread.
Yep, any game breaking issues out of the box, nothing really.
Issues. It's already got a huge modding community. Obviously it has a huge sales number. I mean, 3.4 million, unless you're Call of Duty, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I'm curious to see we posted that they'd sold like 3.4 million copies retail in their first few days. I'm curious to see what that number is when you put digital sales in.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. That doesn't,
pretty much most of the people on PC were going to have bought it digitally. So I'm really curious to see how many, like what the real sales numbers are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you can, if I believe, a little spoiler maybe, I believe at the end of the year we're going to try, or closer to the end of the year, we're going to try to have a live podcast kind of with some awards. Scott and I brainstormed this a little bit.
Yep.
And we'll be talking about our games of the year, and I just can't see anything else, really. I mean, at this point, dethroning Skyrim. And I haven't even played it.
Yeah, I can't wait till you play it.
D3 is out before the end of the year.
Well, if D3 is out, maybe. For me, anyway. But
yeah.
I just can't see anything.
Yeah, like what's so amazing to me about it is like I've been reading the hype machine. I've been listening to people talk about it for whatever many days it's been out. And I was like holding off, and so I was like, all right, you know, I'll play it and see like if it grabs me right away. I was like, it might not. I'll give it a few hours and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And like right away, man, right when I got in and started playing it.
It's because of the way they start the game off. That first section, it's just like
amazing.
Okay, it's over. You think you're getting your fucking head chopped off. And then there's a big ass dragon, and you're like, yeah, okay, this game's good.
Exactly. And, just looking at just having Steam open, like for any length of time, all I see is popping up in my corner. Now playing Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, over and over and over.
Yeah, like it was hard to find someone to game with because everyone was in Skyrim.
The other night when I was live streaming, I was like, you know, somebody want to come play with me on any of these games? No, everybody was in fucking Skyrim, dude. It was ridiculous. So,
I think we mentioned this, but I think it's pretty noteworthy that, granted, the game doesn't have an online component, but I haven't really heard anything about technical issues or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure some people are having some issues, but nothing seems to be widespread. Seems to be, you know, extremely playable. And I haven't really heard any complaining on that front.
I mean, there's the only gripe I have is that there's a rendering issue in cities where, you know, you'll drop down to like 30, 40 frames a second on high-end machines. But like out in the world, it's fine. It's just the way it renders like all of the shit inside of a city at once.
Right.
Because it's not using any more CPU or any more GPU than it would be out in the world. But it just doesn't render correctly, and it causes some frame rate issues. But I'm sure that's a really simple patch for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and since it's single player, you know, it's not like you have to have high consistent FPS, so that's not game breaking or anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it crash once in 5.5 hours, and it was my fault, I think, because I was alt tabbing too much to check something. So I alt tabbed a few times.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't alt tab like Battlefield.
No,
that's
to be fair, Battlefield with the alt tab is incredible. It is fast. So I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about Skyrim in future episodes as we play more. Like, hopefully by next week I'll be 5 hours in. Hopefully I'll be like 40 hours in or more. So, maybe move on to talk a little about Tribes Ascend because we've all played that as well now. So,
Scott, I'll start this with you actually because I know Brandon used to play back in the day, John used to play back in the day, and I've put in some hours on the new one and I've played the old one. So you're kind of fresh to this,
right?
I think.
Yep.
How long have you played it for? Like even an hour yet? Or?
I've probably about an hour and a half total one night.
So
about
what was
three,
the pace like
games.
To you, or the
insanity
the movement?
Insanity.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just dizzying. Like when you go in and like that, it is impressive. Like
for a methodical Counter Strike
player.
Oh
God! Like that. Yeah. Like what the fuck is going on? And I got like my first game. I was able to get quite a few frags, but just movement is going to take me a long time. Like the skiing, getting good at capping flags, that stuff I could definitely see taking some time. But I'm definitely hoping this weekend I really want to play some more when Brandon gets back and kind of delve into that and I haven't even done that skiing tutorial, which I probably should do so I can get the
basics
down.
On my stream the other night were asking me to do the skiing tutorial because they just wanted to see it.
Oh,
with a good skiing path. They just wanted to see me ski without people shooting at me and stuff. So.
I actually haven't done the skiing tutorial either, but I probably should just to see what it's like and to say I've done it.
I'm
guessing it's
probably
really short.
Yeah.
But
it's probably just like this.
It's all about
roots,
though, really, isn't it? Like,
yeah. And it's not.
Yeah, that's what.
It's not overexerting your jetpack either. Like you'll find the problem. You'll be like, all right, I'm never gonna make it over this slope. So you use your jetpack more, and then you land on flat ground, and you don't get any speed.
Yeah, you lose all your.
Yeah,
well, it is pretty much all about the roots, because if you've played the three maps now, so I guess, they patched the game since our last podcast, so they added a new map, and they removed the speed cap.
New map's hardest for me.
Yeah, so I was going to say, the new map doesn't really have very, very good skiing lines, and so I think that makes it even, like, the skill gap widens even more, because you'll see a lot of the newer players just kind of putting along, trying to figure out how to get going quickly. Whereas on like the ice map, there, you know, there are huge mountains and stuff. It's a lot easier to get going quickly. I've obviously, you guys know, I've been enjoying it a lot, and the new patch fixed nearly every stability issue I had. Like, I don't think I've crashed since it's been patched.
No, I didn't crash last night, and that was with, you know, XSplit running and everything, which obviously anything added on top is gonna be detrimental, and I had no issues at all. The only issues I still have are it dropping me from games where I was queued in, or it just never loading a game, and then I could just exit out. It didn't crash, but the matchmaking is a little wacky sometimes. But that's about it. Like, last night I felt no other bugs or anything.
Yeah, it's good to hear, because in my just hour and a half, I think I crashed like 5 times.
Every
my
time
first
an app
time.
Loaded.
Yeah.
There's some sweet map glitches where you'll be skiing 500 miles an hour and you'll just stop for no reason, which is sweet.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Yeah, they definitely still have some stuff to work out. Like, that is infuriating.
It only happens to me when I have a flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes it better, yeah.
I can guarantee you the next thing Brandon's going to say is the infuriating thing is concussion grenades.
Yeah, I would say that really, as far as gameplay goes, the only two things that I can't stand are the sniper rifle and concussion grenades. That's the only stuff that so far has actually made me rage and want to quit, but then I remember I don't actually want to quit, and I just keep playing.
This sniper rifle, how many hit kill is it?
Two or three, but it like kind of locks on, sort of.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't used it.
It's just, I think the problem I have is that there's no fog, or very little fog, on most of the maps. Mm-hmm. So you can get killed by a guy that's just sitting at his base, you know, and all he's doing is sniping. And John and I, or maybe it was Dan and I, playing with some guy on a server who was just camping in the worst, like, just the worst spots, and wasn't helping his team out at all. He would end up getting maybe 10 or 15 kills in a match, but just absolutely not helping his team one bit. And, like, once I found out where he was, like, I would shoot a disc from across the map and end up hitting him and killing him, because he just would never move. And But, I mean, those issues are probably personal preference. I'm sure there are just as many people that love being the sniper, you know, and killing people at long distance. So, overall, though, I was really impressed to see such an extensive list of patch notes already. It doesn't even feel like, it wouldn't feel like a closed beta if there weren't still, like, some features missing and stuff. I mean, when I enter the game, I forget that I'm playing a beta, let alone a closed beta.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that at all. So.
It's very polished. I mean, it was polished to QuakeCon, though. It felt right then.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Yeah, but it feels great. And I'm definitely glad that it seems like they're distributing more and more keys, like Curse getting a bunch of keys. I'm just glad people can now start actually like getting in and populating servers. Because one thing I noticed at the beginning was that I would end up playing with a lot of the same people. And, I don't think that was by coincidence. I'm guessing that there just weren't that many people playing concurrently. And I've noticed more and more, you know, I'm seeing very few of the same names now, so that's getting better.
I'll tell you one thing that's not polished. High Command. What the hell is that thing? God.
Yeah, it looks pretty amateur.
It just looks like... I was saying it the other... I mean, it works fine. It's just so funny to me, because, like, we have Origin, which I... It's just... I don't know. Looks okay. And then you have, you know, Steam, which is more polished, and... it's just, like, the High Command thing... I don't know if that's ever going to change. I mean, they use other games for that since it's free to play, because there's other games on that list, I guess.
Right.
It's just funny to me, like, it looks like the buttons and everything, it just looks so out of place, because then when you go into Tribes, everything's a lot more polished. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny to me. I feel like High Command and the core client for Blacklight, they both feel...
Yeah.
I mean... You know, they serve their purpose, though.
They work.
Also, they're not intrusive. Like... That's the main thing.
You know,
if a client was intrusive, then that would be the worst possible ending to that. So,
yeah, I think I could complain about like how it looks and you know doesn't really feel all that polished. But then again, I don't want to say that because it works. It does what it's supposed to.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't nag me with messages.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like it launches the game and I can change my settings.
Yeah, so
that's fine. It's just you know. I'm just being cynical.
And it randomly pops up a beta key button occasionally. And then when I give out keys, it randomly pops up the beta key again. I've given out like six or eight keys so far off of my account.
Nice.
What I love is like I feel like Core and you know, Jared, if you listen, I'm sorry, bro, but I feel like Core and High Command were kinda like, well, these other guys have these digital distribution services, so I guess we should too. Like, that's what it feels like to me, is like someone's like, just throw one together. You know, so we have something to tie our beta to. Like,
I think it's more about the publishers wanting a systematic way to deliver updates. Because pretty much no game is going to have like your manual patching process like we used to have where you had to download it off of File Shack or File Planet.
Right.
And so, you know, it's kind of like especially if you're going to be creating multiple games, why not just start out, make a digital distribution client, and kind of start
update
that process
that.
Off right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, when I remember how, like, we used to have to manually download the versions off of File Shack and, like, wait 30 minutes in line and stuff.
Yep, yeah, I remember those days.
All of a sudden, High Command and Core seem awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I remember when I was playing, like, Medal of Honor, Allied Assault a lot and stuff like that, and patches would come out. Like, here we go. Queue up. Let's patch this thing. Okay, let's get it to version 1.4. Oh, wait, I had to reinstall. Now let me install 5 patches. To get it back up because this one is an incremental patch and isn't the full patch, so that's funny.
God, yeah, I remember the days of that. Like, remember? You have like your 1.03 to 1.04,
and
you also have your full patch, like 1 to 1.04.
Exactly.
Yep, I remember that.
Oh man, it's good. I mean, that was one thing digital distribution has brought us, which is very nice. Yeah, the patching aspect. All right, well, we have to touch on, speaking of digital distribution, we have to touch on the fact that Steam got hacked this week. Or I guess last week, I don't know. Yeah, I guess this week. Which, Dan, you can maybe talk about it, because you were extremely disappointed.
Well, I mean, I should have guessed, you know, nothing on the internet is really safe, but...
Right.
I mean, Steam was one of these things where so much is tied to it that... Excuse me. It kind of felt like, kind of like Microsoft. Like, Microsoft doesn't get hacked, you know? Like, Windows might, but Microsoft doesn't get hacked. You know, no one's ever saying, oh, we broke into Microsoft headquarters. That doesn't happen, but I felt like Steam was the same way because of the severity of the breach that could cause. It'd be much worse than PSN. I don't care what people say. If it actually got compromised, because think about it, you have, you know, 50, 60 games, some people, tied to one ID, and all of a sudden that gets compromised. it's all gone. It's like $1,000, you know, possibly in game, you know. So, and that's like your whole...
I'll take the other side of the argument. It actually doesn't bother me that much because I think in this day and age, high-profile companies, it's not about if they're going to get hacked. It's about when.
When.
And the thing that stood out most to me is that immediately we got a message on Steam from Gabe Newell and explaining what happened.
Gabe's such a fucking
and then also,
bro.
Yeah, dude.
And then he also explains that the username and passwords that were stolen were all hashed and salted, and that all the credit card information is encrypted. So if they manage to, you know, if they manage to break the encryption, then it's gonna we're not gonna be worrying about Steam. We're gonna be worrying about science because of the encryption methods they used. So I don't think this compares to PSN at all because the Sony was completely negligent in the way they were handling their information.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it in plain text?
Plain text.
Good
Lord. Valve has shown that they are to be trusted. And, you know, it doesn't bother me at all because they got hacked, they disclosed it, and, you know, that stuff probably will never be worth anything because of, you know, the security around it. And considering that we have Steam Guard now, you know, even if the username and password somehow did get compromised, you know, they still have that level of security in place to keep the accounts safe. So I feel more, you know, it's not a great thing that it happened, but I feel more secure than ever that Valve is looking out for, you know, the security of the accounts and trying to keep that trust with their customers.
Yeah, seeing that letter was awesome.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
It's like Gabe's trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't worry, bros.
Like, you want to talk about doing PR right after a disaster and doing
the CEO
PR wrong?
Of your company.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just like, I know exactly what we have to do. I will apologize. I will take responsibility and let people know what's going on. Like, that's all people want. Like, people are forgiving if you are forthright and
Scott,
like.
Sometimes you have to take 10 weeks of silence, okay? With
yeah.
no updates.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. But
I certainly think, I mean, the way that message read, it read like Gabe wrote it himself.
Yeah,
it wasn't
definitely.
PR speak.
No.
It seemed sincere, and you can't really ask for anything more. You can tell he cares.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could
Gabe
tell he
answers
was...
every goddamn email people send him to.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's where he you could email Gabe and be like, well, do you have a boner right now? And he'll email you back and just say no. Just like, nope.
Yes.
I saw an email posted on one of the websites that had posted an article about this, and they had emailed Gabe about the hack, and he said that they were going to be giving out like free Portal 2 or Dota 2, Dota, whatever, like free games because of this, and I have no doubt that they will do that. You know, that they will, even on top of that message, like, I'm sure they'll probably give out some free games or something to make it right with customers.
Right. No, I agree. They, once again, they just, as we've praised Valve all the time on here, and to me, there's no such thing really as a, when you're that good, there's no, we're not fanboying, bros. They're just that good. Damn good. Yeah. Like, what has Valve ever done wrong, really? I mean,
Well, think about if you were in Valve's position and that happened to you, like, what do you think is the best course of action? I don't think they could have done it any better.
Right.
You know, they disclosed it in a timely fashion. They were taking all the security measures necessary. I mean, I can't fault them for it because that kind of stuff happens especially when you're running like a huge digital service. Honestly, I'm surprised that it didn't get hacked before this.
Mm-hmm. So props to you, Valve.
Definitely, definitely. We should have winners of the week, and Valve is a winner of the week, even though they got hacked, which is impressive for how they responded, or more importantly, how Gabe responded. But all right, well, we are burning through time quickly here, but I really, real quick, wanted to do a quick roundtable discussion on something that was brought up in the forums on kbmod.com/forums. Go sign up if you haven't. little plug. And
please do.
Yes, definitely. Talking about, someone was asking, is I forget who it was, but they said, well, actually, I know the name, but I don't know how to pronounce it. S-E-O-N-E-S, I think. Sinones, something like that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's a good bro, though. He gave me a alpha-beta key for BF3, alpha-beta key.
He should have gave you a key for Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have a Go key already?
I do have a Go key, yes.
Okay. If you like us, send me a CSGO beta key. Thank you.
There you go.
Or me.
Don't give one
forget
to Brandon.
Brandon
can send only play games me. 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Sad truth.
So... anyway, so his thread was, what, you know, is Battlelog as bad as people make it out to be, basically? And overall, the thread was pretty much like, no. I responded in there and said, you know, no, it's not. There's some things that are annoying about it, but it doesn't hamper my overall enjoyment, you know, of playing Battlefield. And,
right.
You know, my point was, I said the greater problem, I think, is that Battlelog is going to be the precedent that is set. You know, other game studios and developers are looking at Battlelog and seeing this as a success for the most part, which it is. I think it's a kind of, I don't really agree with Battlelog, but they have implemented it well. And, you know, so these big marquee titles or the big budget titles, I think will definitely start going this route. And I think you are looking at the true death of the in-game server browser for some titles, not smaller ones. Like, I think games like Blacklight and Tribes and stuff like that. Like, Brandon, you had tweeted at me today and talked about that, how you think, you know, those will stay around, which I agree with.
I think you're right. Definitely for the bigger titles that want to create a lot of engagement. Honestly, I'm surprised. I don't think we didn't touch on this in the news, but, like, Call of Duty Elite potentially not coming to PC. Right. That kind of surprises me just because... not that I'm disappointed, because again, I don't care, but I think you'll see the big budget franchises start doing some kind of Battlelog type things to create more engagement and, you know, keep people interested. But I think there's a lot of companies that just won't have the resources to do that, because like Battlelog, I can't imagine how much of an investment that was beforehand, and I think it's paying off for them now, but that's a big risk to take.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know the logistics behind it. I mean, like you're saying, just like testing, you know, testing it in different browsers, making sure it works. You'd have that whole other, the website of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like how much, there has to be a reason, like to me though, that they did it and they didn't, I don't know, and they didn't include it in the game. I still don't know if that was just monetary or a mix of it.
I think it all comes back to the engagement, you know,
yeah.
when it's not in the game,
right.
It means that when you're at work, you know, you can check your stats
and all your friends' stuff.
And it definitely, say that it doesn't work for creating engagement and having people spend more time on that service. Personally, I don't know exactly what that gains them, you know, because it is a free service. It's not like I'm paying them more money to use Battlelog. So,
Duty Elite, you would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't
From a pure monetary standpoint, it seems like it's costing them money, but I'm sure that there's a way they're justifying it through, you know, the continued engagement they're getting from all the people playing the game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of disagree with the premise that more things are going to put server browsers in that kind of a thing. I disagree with that because I think it's frankly probably easier to put the server browser in game.
I would think.
Even a triple A title, I think would rather have the game. But I think you will see more things like Call of Duty Elite, for sure. I think it's going to be more on that side of things. Where that has all the Battlelog stuff, you know, stats, social interaction, friends lists, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The only thing it has different, basically, is that it has some paid services, which I don't even know what they are, to be honest. But and then it also has the whole with the pay, you get like, you know, free DLC or whatever. I think you'll see that maybe put in. And Jared talked about this, you know, a couple weeks ago when he was on. about how he's pretty sure that model, that's going to be the AAA model. Like, he said he's very fearful of that, which I would agree with, because you're going to spend like $200 on a game.
Right, by the time, yeah.
In the end.
Yeah.
And he's very fearful of that happening, but I totally think that's how it's going to go. They're all going to phrase the single player just like Call of Duty does, which is the only game that has done this in the past and still does. Multiplayer is a free feature.
Right.
Like, have I touched the single player in Modern Warfare 3? No. And I never will.
Nope.
And, so.
Really interested to see what happens to Soap, though.
Yeah. So I was really connected with him from back to Cop 4.
A riveting story.
It's on par with BioShock storytelling, I'd say.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Alex isn't even here to defend
us. I know. So. I need to defend his hero, Ken Levine, here.
But, I can definitely see the online service thing. And as we talked about with Jared and a little bit last week, the whole free-to-play thing is going to have to lend itself to that type of thing where, I'll pay to see, my stats online and compare them with everyone else's and get some DLC. And maybe I didn't even have to pay for the original game.
Right.
But I'll go ahead and pay this fee for this, for sure. Like, I think you'll see that happen. And more publishers try to get in on that rather than just microtransactions.
I think you may see, more games start to try to emulate sort of Battlelog type things, like maybe make more of their services more web-based and that sort of thing. But one thing that's, I think, to EA's credit is that, I mean, it is pretty impressive technically. Like, that's a entirely different skill set, I would have to imagine.
Just the integration,
Coding a game, coding a website of that magnitude is no easy task. And so I'm kind of afraid that we may start seeing sort of some subpar imitators for games. And, I mean, given how poorly some games release already, I can only imagine trying to, for some games to try and integrate with like a web service for their server browser.
See, this
is all the problems that EA had, and that's a huge budget title. I mean, there's not going to be many games coming out soon with a budget as large as Battlefield's.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. This is, while we're talking and you're saying this, I'm thinking, what if it's this? What if this is, obviously this is the first experiment with a site like Battlelog for EA. But this, I could see, like, what if they do, so another title comes out, what if it's like tribes.battlelog.com, and this is a third-party service that they will do, right? They already have the infrastructure built. They know how to do it. They know how to integrate games into it, or they can. Like, I'm thinking of this as maybe, I don't know, and I'm sure they'll do it for future EA titles or whatever. I can see that already happening. But what about, like, even titles that they don't own, and they say, listen, we have this service. You can run your game through this. I mean, that to me, that's a huge money-making opportunity as well. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what they're thinking, because that makes sense. Like, okay, you're maybe a smaller game or a medium-sized game. Look at this. You'll have access to millions of users now that we've already built on Battlelog. And so these people are hitting up the site to go to here every day, and then you'll go, oh, look, hey, Tribes is on Battlelog, or you know what I mean? And I feel like, Tribes is probably a bad example, but other titles that could be integrated, and I think maybe that this is just like, they're like, look how successful this is with Battlefield. We wanted to see if it would work, and now that it is, we can make this a third-party product almost that we have, that we can give
people. I gotta go hoo-ah everybody on Battlelog now. Damn it.
Yeah. I don't know, that's just a thought. I have no proof of that, but it makes sense to me.
That could happen. I mean, it seems they're definitely trying to pimp out Origin, to people.
Yeah, exactly.
I could easily see them try to do the same thing with Battlelog. But I think that if they do anything like that, they're gonna have to have a lot more like Origin and Battlelog integration than they do now.
I don't
think you can try and sell both services separately. And so it would probably be smart for EA to kind of create that synergy there and say, hey, we'll not only can we put your game on Origin, but now we can put it with Battlelog and there's this integration. I think EA probably has big plans, something like that I'm guessing we may see 2 or 3 years down the line.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
I don't know.
I don't hate Battlelog nearly as much as I used to.
I just troll it real hard.
Yeah. I mean, it works. It works well. I can hoo-ah everything everybody does. And I can also troll Modern Warfare 3 in my status.
Yeah.
It's currently, it says 91 FPS. Modern Warfare 3 is the best, and it has hoo-ahs, and that's important to me.
Sound like it would be important to you.
I think, yeah, I don't really mind Battlelog either. Now that it's working, I think that was really my biggest concern all along, is it actually going to work? And there have been some growing pains, but now that the one good thing is that they can patch that independently of the game. And we've seen that, they just one day implemented server queues. And I mean, admittedly, that was cool. We didn't have server queues and now we do. Right. So, you know, there are some good things it does. I think more so now, my hatred is for Origin, not necessarily Battlelog.
Yeah.
What did Origin ever do to you, bro?
Made me unable to buy Battlefield 3 on Steam.
Every time I try to load a game.
That's true. It did make you unable to buy Battlefield 3 on Steam. That is pretty bad.
Maybe if when I clicked the Origin executable and it logged me in, if it didn't immediately crash afterwards, maybe I wouldn't have a problem with it as much as I do.
Or when it does decide to load, takes like 35 seconds even on a solid state. I mean, Origin's fantastic. By fantastic, I mean they haven't added a new game to it in like 8 weeks, but strong. Well,
apparently you get like Burnout Paradise for free.
You fucking get Tiger Woods PGA 2008.
Oh, nice. There's a title, bro. I want to play.
I mean, that's a PG title. That's a PC title right there. Triple A.
Hey man, Tiger Woods, that was back when Tiger Woods mattered.
He's been playing some great golf lately.
He's relevant.
He was like one stroke behind a lead this week and going into the final round. I don't really know what he did. He probably went out and boned like 50,000 chicks the night before the final round. But, you know, he was doing okay.
Oh God, I was speaking of that. I was watching, you guys seen that South Park episode where the Tiger Woods PGA Tour 10 or 11, I forget what year it was, is him getting beat up by his wife and like they're playing the game. Oh, it's incredible. Oh God, South Park. Anyway, do we want to move on to questions now, Dan?
And now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
I don't know, Brandon. There's a lot in here. I can just go through.
I'm getting robot voice again. Hold on.
I'm clear.
Okay.
I'm clear.
Good.
I've got a few questions here.
Okay.
First of all, I think one of the most important questions that I've read tonight was from Fancy Amoeba, asking, "Will sliding around on laminate flooring in my socks prepare me for skiing in Tribes?"
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Without it. Undoubtedly, yes.
I don't even think it's a...
Buy a jetpack, though, so you can use that in your kitchen as well.
You might want to doesn't he have to grease the laminate flooring for more speed?
Not if he has quality socks. If he has gold toes, he should slide pretty well.
Nice. That's a pro tip. Wow.
It's a combination of good, you know, good thick socks, and then also, so, you know, couldn't hurt to maybe do some vacuuming beforehand. Maybe make sure you've got a clean surface.
It's true. It's a good call. I want to polish this one too. I mean, if you really want to get that speed up into the red zone there.
Yeah. Well, see, it depends on, are you a casual player or are you going to really get competitive with Tribes? You know, if you're just casual, maybe don't polish the floor. But if you're hardcore, I think the answer is there.
Oh, man. Strong.
All right.
Let's see. Sure. Next, got kind of a just a general question here from PD Allen, asking about our amount of care given that we don't have an NBA season right now.
Oh my God!
The amount of care that I have, there's really absolutely zero because hockey.
I think, I don't know if it's so much care as it is pure joy for me that there's no basketball going on. God,
I'm gonna go with pure joy.
NBA I can't watch the NBA anyway. Hockey. I don't even watch. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, I'm actually more happy that baseball season is over.
Yes.
More than the NBA is not happening? Come on.
Baseball is the worst.
I don't know.
The worst.
Postseason baseball.
Yeah, I don't really like baseball cluttering up my SportsCenter highlights.
Yeah, dude. Because there's no such thing as a baseball highlight, per se.
The number one play every day, some guy makes a diving catch in center field. awesome. Thanks for that top ten. Thanks for plays of the night. I appreciate it.
Wow, I didn't realize you all hate baseball this much, man.
Yeah, baseball sucks. Damn. Well, I do live in Pittsburgh.
Well, I can't really talk right now about the Phillies.
They have players on the baseball team that probably make less than we do.
True.
Those.
Because their caliber of play is no better than what I could provide the team either.
Those Pirates hurting for a long time.
I care about it mainly because I like watching the NBA once the playoffs start. So not having a season means potentially no playoffs.
Do you like the playoffs? That's interesting.
Yeah,
I've seen San Antonio. I mean, he has a good team.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean. It definitely helps if the Spurs or the Mavericks, you know, are in the playoffs. But I like watching the games that are exciting, and it's kind of the same thing with baseball. Like, I just don't like the regular season. But you know, if a team I'm interested in is playing in the playoffs, then I'll watch.
I like to go to baseball games because I like hot dogs and nachos.
Oh yeah,
nice. What about popcorn and the seventh inning stretch?
No, nachos, because they let you get your own jalapeno peppers. So you get like fucking 12 pounds of jalapeno peppers for your nachos. And that's the best part.
Yeah, that's a pro tip. Definitely get your money's worth on the jalapenos.
Mm-hmm.
Jalapenos.
But baseball sucks. On to the next question.
I have one.
Okay. All right. Go ahead then.
Cause I was actually going to address this earlier, but then we got rolling. So, are you guys worried at all that Blacklight or Tribes will turn from free to play to pay to win? And let me address this now because both games are really, really early on. Tribes actually so far to me doesn't feel like that's the case, because all it really gets you is a few unlocks and some more classes. I mean, really, it doesn't really break the game, at least in my opinion. And I had a VIP thing, so I had a lot more gold than most people to start. All it did was get me more classes faster. Blacklight, on the other hand, I don't know if any of you guys played in this phase too with all the new games that came out, but it doesn't feel good to play against someone who's a high level. So if you can buy all that shit right away, and I've tweeted the devs about this, but man, there's this guy, he's level 30 or 35 now. I mean, he's so far ahead. And he's nearly unkillable. I mean, it is ridiculous.
You were lamenting.
I'm not bad at that game.
The other day,
I'm not like insane at, but I'm not bad. This guy was going 30-2, 30-1 every single match. But
can you pay to get to that level? Like, can you?
Yeah,
pay
because
to,
you would buy the items with money to get you there.
Okay.
So, I mean, it just feels like if that's going to be the case, then that's not a good thing. But granted, it's, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into the game, so in beta. So they have plenty of time to change.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not the only one.
So,
I'm sure you're not the only one that would give that feedback to them about that.
Yeah, so
I think the best thing about those two games in particular is that they're smaller dev teams that are passionate about their game. So I don't think with those two titles specifically, you're going to get pay to win. Because like you said, in Tribes, so far all you can do with the gold that you buy is buy new classes, which, I mean, is important for diversity. But as long as the classes are balanced, you know, you don't have to have a new class to do well. And then I'm sure they'll have some, like, appearance stuff once the full game is out. So you can pay for, you know, new skins or something like
hats.
That. But as far as, like, an actual gameplay advantage, there's no real advantage to be had from purchasing stuff in Tribes.
Nice.
But
let's see, do you have another question, Dan?
Yeah, okay. Since we've all played Tribes, so this guy hasn't played it very much, but...
Did you say who said that one?
Oh, crap, I didn't. Let me go find it.
That was A Panuccio.
A Panuccio, yeah. And then I think the other question was right above his here. It was actually about, well, I'll say the question and then I'll find it because I know what the question, oh, there it is. It's from Meds Boss. It's, what are your favorite Tribes loadouts and are there any balance issues you would like to see tweaked? For me, my favorite loadout's the Ranger so far. It's one of the first ones you get, but I like it the most.
I like Soldier the most, and I hate concussion grenades.
I don't know yet. I haven't played long enough to give you an honest answer yet. I'll have to play more later.
Well, you should probably fix that, Scott.
I know.
We're gonna fix that this weekend.
Yeah, we will. We will. If I'm not playing Skyrim, no, I'll make an effort.
Yeah, for me, it's funny. The Soldier is actually my favorite class, too, even though that's one of the ones that you start with by default. Mm. But I think it's my favorite because it's a good balance of speed, like speed and maneuverability, and
right.
You get a spin fuser.
Old school
Trabs is the best weapon in the game. Yeah.
That's the old school Trabs with the spin fuser.
I think actually, I guess for me, it's a tie between the Soldier and the Pathfinder, which is kind of the light version of the Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like flag running a lot, and the Pathfinder's better for that.
Yeah.
I like everything. I just like Tribes.
I like the heavy weapons classes, too. I don't know why. I don't have any light classes, though, except the Sniper, so...
Yeah, well, that's the worst light class.
Hopefully I can find that guy you guys were talking about, and he can teach me how to snipe from the base. That'll be good. I'll work on that this weekend.
I tell you, that guy found the most ridiculous spots, like on the snow map. He
really?
Found, like, he went to the very top of, like, the tallest point and just sat on the spire of this tower. I could not believe it. Like, I zoomed in. I had to use my double zoom from across the map, and I fired a disc.
Funny.
It probably took 15 full seconds to travel to him, but it hit him with a direct shot because he just didn't ever move.
Oh, that's funny.
You won't run into that much camping and traps, though, hopefully.
No, not at all.
Aside from snipers, you don't really see much camping. I mean, I guess unless...
You can't.
If you're not moving, somebody's going to kill you very quickly.
Because
moving is the entire purpose of tribes. The movement is what makes tribes tribes.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
I think one of the best
I thought it was the collective
about...
Native American groups that make up the people classes in the game. No? Sorry.
Oh, I hate you.
Sorry, Brandon, I derailed you. I don't know what you're saying. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say one of the things that I like about the pace of Tribes so far, not to get into a whole other discussion, but I figure since we're on the topic, I like that, you know, if you have skill capping flags, there's really not much defense can do about someone that's really determined to get a flag. Because you can knock out turrets, you know, in a few discs, and if you can get going fast enough, you can almost always pick up a flag with, you know, and make it out of the enemy base. So there's always, I mean, the gameplay is so dynamic that there's really no defense that can't be pushed through, and that makes for a lot of fun matches.
Yeah
I'm a fan.
So there's that.
Yeah, just the speed alone is gonna take me a little bit to get used to, and hopefully once I get the movement down, I'll learn how
it's
to count
as,
the flag.
It's not as fast-paced or twitch-based as, like, say, like a Counter-Strike Source, but...
yeah.
It's less twitched, but I think still just as much skill. It's just that the skill is divided a little more between aiming and movement.
Yeah, like, when you're, like, going full speed while trying to shoot someone and time where they're going to land or if you're going to hit them midair, I mean, that's a whole nother level, especially if you're going fast. Like
midair discs don't happen often. That's just a whole separate skill set altogether.
Well, in that case, then Nuketown Noob, I saw that disc shot he hit.
Yeah, man, he's already got a montage clip.
I know, I saw that. That was a nice shot. That was very nice.
He's bad at everything, though.
Would you call that luck, John, or is that skill? Come on.
From him, it's luck.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of those long shots that are almost always going to be luck.
Right.
Because the further out you get, the more lucky it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
sure.
Like,
somebody...
I watched a video this...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, if somebody's using their jetpack up in front of you or something, and they come up a slope, and they're up in the air, and you hit them, and they're not far away from you, that takes far more skill than shooting a disc across the map and hitting somebody.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's this one guy that put up a video on YouTube. I guess he had like some clips of him playing throughout the week, and he had a bunch of midair discs, and they were all like a lot of them were short to mid range, and that takes an incredible amount of skill to kind of predict where they're gonna go.
Right.
So the long ones are lucky, but people that can hit those short midair disc shots consistently, I mean, that just, it's really impressive.
Yep. Nice.
I love me some tribes.
Let's see. I've got another question here. This is from Kurth92. He asks, what are your thoughts on gaming addiction? And then how does one balance that kind of thing?
There is no such thing as gaming addiction. There is only addiction. Addiction is a disease, and you could be addicted to anything. It just so happens that some people get addicted to video games. I mean, that's how I see it. I mean, addiction is something that can be treated and is often treated as a disease and not just, you know, if a person's addicted to video games, they could also be addicted to drugs, you know? That's how I see it.
I agree. Yep. I agree. Addiction is addiction. Game addiction exists, exactly. I mean, people would probably, when you ask people to define game addiction, you know, what we do, I'm sure, is considered game addiction. Because how much we would play, because this is our main hobby. So I would tend to disagree with that. I would say, you know, so it would get into semantics of that. But yeah, I agree with John. I mean, true game addiction, like, if you're not going to work, I mean, Skyrim aside, you know. if you're, you know, not going to work, neglecting responsibilities, neglecting
social. Scott just got a promotion, but he's already considered quitting his job just to finish Skyrim.
I am. Yep. I am. I'm actually, you know, I really am thinking about calling out of work tomorrow to play Skyrim. It's bad. Hopefully no one at my work will hear this. But, no, I won't. But it is tempting, and that is, like, is that where it crosses over? It's like, nah, I mean, I knew a guy who was addicted, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys know people that were addicted to WoW, or if you guys were addicted to WoW at one point, yeah. I don't know.
Me and Brandon, Dad, we all were.
I know someone, it was me.
Yeah, I know somebody who was really addicted to WoW, and, you know, did the PvP grind thing.
Mm.
Shut up.
Then he had kids, and life had to change.
He had people playing on his accounts while he was sleeping, and, yeah, I do recall this.
Yeah, sometimes you got to.
What was that grind? Was that to get to 60 in the original in vanilla?
That was a PvP rank grind.
Oh, you said PvP, right.
So you could get weapons that would be completely worthless in 6 months when the expansion dropped. Or weapons that, you know, right before the next expansion dropped, somebody could get in 45 minutes of PvPing.
I still have a title.
That's the saving grace right there is a title.
Nice.
General Jot will live on.
I actually have a story. When I was, I guess it would have been my freshman or sophomore year of college, somewhere around there, when Burning Crusade came out. So I went to the University of Texas, and so Austin had some terrible, like, ice storms, really, really unusual stuff, but just crazy weather. And we ended up having the first 2 days of class for our spring semester canceled. And that was the day that Burning Crusade came out, like midnight that night. So my roommate and I braved the ice storm in my Jeep. We braved the ice storm and got Burning Crusade, came back, and we probably, we played that whole night. We probably played almost every waking hour of the 2 days that we had no school. and I ended up being, like, we both
top
ended up
five.
Being some of the first. No. And it wasn't top five because, I mean, there are other crazy people out
it was
there.
Top
but
five on our
we
stacks.
Were one of. Maybe.
The only people I remember beating you was that one warrior from Evolved.
No, the one chick who was in Eminent had her and her boyfriend playing 24 hours a day, literally, like, never stopped.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't like the top, but we were some of the first people to hit 70 on the server. And so, yeah, I think gaming addiction is a real thing. But, you know, since then, obviously, my life has stabilized since my WoW playing days.
You were only addicted because you were able to be, though. There's
right,
a difference.
Right.
Like, a
yeah,
lot of people, I mean, I'm definitely a gaming addict considering, you know, I'll play 30 or 40 hours a week some weeks. But
right.
There will also be a week where I don't play but, you know, 5 or 6 hours because of work-related things.
Yep.
So there's different stages of addiction, too.
Yeah.
And I still stand by addiction as addiction, regardless of what you're addicted to.
Well, like, what I hate to see on, like, Twitter and stuff, like, I hate when I see this. And is when I'll see a tweet, and you guys might remember when this happened, because I retweeted it and was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Some dude was like, oh, so-and-so is streaming? Well, time to cancel plans with friends. I was like, what the fuck, dude? Get your shit together.
Yeah.
You're going to watch a man on the internet play video games instead of going out with some real-life friends.
Yeah. Definitely. If you find yourself consistently, like, I think we've all done it, like, neglected real-life responsibilities and stuff to play. I mean, that happens.
I mean, I took off a week of work for Cataclysm. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but I was able to do that, so I don't consider that necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, you got to be off work, so.
Right. Exactly. Like, once it really starts hampering your, you know, you're doing things that you can't be doing, like you're saying, John, like, you really can't afford to take off work, and you can't afford to not be with these people, then I really, that is the line, and you know.
Yeah, if people ask me to go out, man, it's always going to be going out.
Yeah, like, definitely.
If you load up Counter-Strike Source 15 years after it's been released, you're addicted.
You're addicted to the game. Well, that might be fair. 15. You see, we haven't hit 15 years yet, though, for Source, so we're all right. We'll see. We got a couple more years.
That was actually a good question. I like that one.
Yeah, that was good. Who was that? Who asked that again? Do you have it?
That was Kurth 92.
Oh, Kurth. Okay, nice, nice Kurth. Kudos.
Congrats to you, sweet Kurth.
Sweet Kurth.
What's the time? Pretty late now.
Yeah, we got. It's about an hour 20, so we probably could wrap it up. Do we have any more questions, or I'm good to wrap it up?
Well, we got one more okay. question, because we didn't really touch on this in the news, but we can kind of hit it now. The Poning Pie asks,
nice.
how do you think the new Sandy Bridge E processor will do in the gaming market?
Worthless. How do I think? I know it's not very good. Well, it's not that it's not very good.
Not very big of an upgrade.
It's just not worth your money. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
What was the price? What are those coming out as right now?
Almost $1,100.
Oh, my God.
I mean, me and Brandon were talking the other day about it.
Yeah,
the top-end processor is it's about the same price as a 980X or 990X was for a while. And it's, I mean, for the people that need it, like for professionals or people with high-end workstations and stuff, it's an awesome processor. It's just that it's not an upgrade for gamers. You know, if you look at the benchmarks, pretty much everything is going to be, it's almost the same for all the benchmarks with the 2600K, just because, you know, most of the games are going to be hampered by the GPU and not your CPU. So I would say any gamer that, unless you have money just falling out of your pockets, there's not really any point to buying Sandy Bridge E. But it's you know, I'm glad that at least Intel is still pushing the envelope. You know, they've retaken their own performance crown, so congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I'm sure it renders really fast. I mean,
so it's 2600K though.
It's not worth your money. Okay.
in multi-threaded workloads, it beats those chips, the 2600K and the 980X, by like in some cases up to 50%. So, I mean, it's a beast of a processor, just not for gaming workloads. I think it's mainly for, you know, people that, enthusiasts, video renderers, professionals, that kind of thing.
It's going to be a while before games start pushing Sandy Bridge, either the 2500K or the 2600K. I mean, Dan's still chugging along and able to run absolutely everything flawlessly on a 965 Black Edition, so.
Which isn't even overclocked.
I think that.
Yeah,
the only person that should buy this as a gamer would be the person that is planning to do a huge build right now and then not upgrade for like 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, seriously, like if you were going to try to build the absolute best PC possible to last you the longest, then yeah, you would want to pick this processor. But realistically, you know, you should just buy a new CPU and motherboard. You know, three years from now, and save yourself $400 or $500 in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely. I mean, I think what you're saying is that the you know, that you have to choose the right load to put on this processor. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, and like I had John and I both had a 980X when they came out because they're, you know, those were
I got
substantially
mine later
better. Yeah, I mean, I got mine because it was
right.
definitely the best thing out at the time by a pretty large margin. And up until this processor came out, I mean, it's for all intents and purposes, the 980X is still the fastest gaming processor you can get. But that I don't think we don't see that gap anymore between Sandy Bridge and Sandy Bridge E like we did with the Nehalem and the Gulftown i7 processors.
Yeah. Nice. I mean,
so
I was trying to be a sarcastic asshole with the load comment, but it's okay. I wasn't sarcastic enough. So
I didn't catch it.
That's fine. No, that's like good. You added more good information. So
cut of your jib.
I do very much like the cut of Brandon's jib, indeed. All right. Well, we probably should end this and be back next week with episode 19.
And then Scott will say nothing about that, and then when 20 hits, he's going to have, like, a nerdgasm.
I will. We don't even have to record him now.
How's your beard coming for No Shave November, Scott?
It's good. You know, I've been rocking this for a while now. So, it's great. Yeah, I've been No Shave January,
every
February.
Month is No Shave November.
Yeah. No Shave Scott. For the last 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So No Shave, good. No Shave 2011.
Yep.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm raising money for charity, my own charity. No. all right, sweet. Let's
say bye.
See let's ya. Say bye. Yep.
Bye.
Later, Skyrim.
Later.
Bye.
Quad.
Hello, gents, and thanks once again for tuning into the podcast this week. If you need to find the podcast, you can find it on podbean.com, our front page, or search iTunes for KB Mod. If you need your PC gaming fix during the week, you can go to kbmod.com or follow us on Twitter @kbmodgaming. We'll see you next week, guys.